Let us open our Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and tonight we will look at verses 11 through 17. Wherefore, remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. We looked a couple of weeks ago at the lost condition of all men as we come into this world, as described by the Apostle Paul in verses 1 through 7. And I mentioned the little word we, W-E, in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation. Paul, a Jew by birth, writing to this church that was mainly made up of Gentile believers, had said some hard things about all of us as we come into this world, dead in trespasses and sins, walking according to the course of this world, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, to make sure that these believers recognized, Paul wasn't just saying that that was true of Gentiles, those who were not Jews by birth, but it was also true of us Jews. We, he includes himself along with the other Jews, among whom also we all had our conversation, the way we lived in times past in the lust of our flesh. It is God's grace that saves sinners through faith in the Lord Jesus. And I want you to notice the apostle thus far has mentioned both mercy and grace. Mercy in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. And then, of course, in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. In Psalm 103 in verse 8, the psalmist said, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Mercy and grace. Do you know how to distinguish the two? Do you know how to define the two, the difference between mercy and grace? Everyone who is saved, we experience the mercy of God, but we also experience the grace of God. Is there a difference? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Now, I believe that both mercy and grace flow from the love of God, but I like to remember it like this. Mercy, mercy is God not giving me what I deserve because of my sins. That's his mercy. If he gives me what I deserve because of my sins, then I will be eternally separated from God in hell. Grace is God giving me what I don't deserve. And that is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. The word grace, I heard this years ago and it stayed with me, but G, God. R, riches. A, act. C, Christ. E, expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. God giving us eternal life, that which we do not deserve, but which He merited for us by His mediation, by His work, His sacrifice, and His righteousness. In the verses that we are looking at tonight, these verses which I've just read, Paul's objective, what is his objective here in these few verses? Well, I believe it is to extol the grace of God and the salvation of these Gentiles. To extol the grace of God and the salvation of these Gentiles. Now, first, in verses 11 and 12, remember your previous condition. Remember your previous condition. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Now, this verse made me think of a passage in Isaiah chapter 51. Now, as I said, Paul is directing these words to Gentile believers. But here in Isaiah 51, verses 1 and 2, the prophet speaks to the nation of Israel, to Jews. And God tells them to remember. Remember where you came from. Notice that here in Isaiah 51, verses 1 and 2. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn. In other words, that rock out of which God took you. Look at that rock. And look at the hole of the pit which you are digged. And of course, he has reference here to their father and their mother, the nation of Israel, Abraham and Sarah. Look unto Abraham, your father. What was Abraham? Abraham was an idolater along with his family. They were idolaters. And God, in pure, sovereign grace, spoke to Abraham and said, get thee out from thy kinsmen into a place that I will show thee. There were hundreds, probably thousands of people who lived where Abraham lived in Ur of the Chaldees, and God singled him out and said, get thee out. God chose Abraham. This is what he said, look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you. Now notice, for I called him alone. I passed over others. And every child of God in this building tonight, you and I know that God passed over others when he came to us and called us. It's all grace, my friend. So in this passage here in Isaiah, he's speaking to the nation of Israel, to Jews, and telling them also to remember from where they came. You know, men are naturally proud, aren't we? I remember my friend, Brother Henry Mahan, saying this, men are proud of face, proud of race, and proud of grace. And he said, that's the worst of all. Pride of grace. Unmerited favor. Now, Paul says to these in our text tonight, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles. What does he mean by that? He doesn't mean that now that they were saved, they were no longer Gentiles in the flesh. He doesn't mean that at all. They were still Gentiles. They were just now saved Gentiles. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. In other words, that mark of circumcision that God gave to Abraham, that distinguished that nation from all the other nations. And so they are called the circumcision, and all the other nations are referred to as the uncircumcision. Those are marks in the flesh. A person who was circumcised, he was marked off as part of the nation of Israel. But these Gentiles, they were called uncircumcision. They knew nothing of the covenants, and they had no hope. The hope that the nation of Israel had, what was the hope that they had? Their hope was because God promised, made a covenant with their father Abraham and renewed it with Isaac and Jacob, the fathers, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And that seed is Christ. And that was their hope. These Gentile nations, they didn't know anything about that, about the covenants, about the promises, about the hopes. They were estranged from all of these things. Remember, Paul says, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. And at that time, now notice, at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were not members of the nation of Israel. You were strangers from those covenants of promise that God had given unto the fathers. You had no hope. You had no hope. You may have had a false hope. You may have had the hope of a hypocrite. Many people have that hope. Any hope that is not Christ is a false hope. It's a hope that will deceive a person and leave a person in ruins and take a person out into eternity, into hell. A false hope. Christ is the hope of the Word of God. Christ is the hope that God has given. And you were without God in the world. Now, before we move on to this second division, I want to point out these two truths from those two verses. First of all, The fact that there is a circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that's what he says. That's a fact. There is a circumcision made in the flesh by hands. That tells us that there's also a spiritual circumcision that is made without hands. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, the apostle says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Well, he's a Jew after the flesh, but he's not the praise of God. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But now notice this, he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Every true child of God is circumcised in the heart, circumcised without hand, circumcised by the Spirit when a person is born again. Circumcision means, of course, cutting away. And in the new birth, God removes, takes away that old heart of stone and replaces it with a heart of flesh upon which he writes his law. Now, I just want to bring this out. How are those who are circumcised in the heart identified? How do I know tonight? How do you know? Have I been circumcised in my heart? Have I? Look with me in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And that circumcision that is inward, made without hands, the work of God the Holy Spirit in the new birth. How do we know if we've been circumcised in our heart? Well, look here at what Paul says in Philippians 3 and verse 3. For we are the circumcision, and here's three marks. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. We don't have a bunch of rituals and ceremonies and lighting of candles and parading, you know, holding up pictures and crosses. And we don't try to worship God like that. That's all carnal, fleshly. We worship God in the Spirit. When we meet here, just like we are tonight, and just a handful of us, we worship God in spirit. We sing His praises. We read His word. We call upon His name. We worship God in spirit. He is the one we come here to worship. We don't call attention to one another and brag on each other and lift each other up. We thank God for one another. Absolutely. But our purpose is here to worship God. And our Lord said, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So that's the first mark of the circumcision. We worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. We rejoice in Christ, don't we? In what He's done for us. We rejoice in the fact that He has purchased our redemption. That He was hanging upon that tree, bleeding and suffering and dying to redeem us from all iniquity. We rejoice in Christ. And the third thing, the third mark is we have no confidence in the flesh. We're not trusting in our decision. We're not trusting in our praying the sinner's prayer or walking down a church aisle or anything else. Our confidence is in Christ. He took our sins in His own body on the tree. And He carried them with Him into the tomb. And when He came out, He left them there. And tonight, we are accepted in the Beloved. We rejoice in Christ. Have no confidence in the flesh. Now, I said I wanted to show you two things. Here's the second thing back in our text. To be without Christ is to be without God. Notice that in verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You see, they're synonymous. To be without Christ is to be without God. This is life eternal, to know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. He is the way, He is the only way to the Father. To know God as our Father, we must know His Son. And His Son, the Lord Jesus, said this, no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son. Now listen, and He that is the Father, to whomsoever the Son shall reveal Him. You see, salvation is a revelation, isn't it? When our Lord said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And you know, they began to say, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Jeremiah, but whom do you say that I am? Yeah. And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Yeah. All right, notice the second thing. So remember your past condition. Now recognize your present position in these last few verses, 13 through 17. And I want you to look at these first two words. But now. Above, after declaring our awful condition by nature, we read, but God. Here we were, dead in trespasses and sins, walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And there we were going along. And if God had left us, we would have continued going along till we fell into hell. Yeah. But God. God had another purpose for you and for me if we know him tonight. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. There it is, but God. But now in this verse, it's but now. But now. But now. What a change is now true. Though they were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, but now they were openly in him by regeneration, by being called, by hearing the gospel and God calling them and saving them. But now. Number one, but now you were far off. But now you're made nigh by the blood of Christ. When we read that they were far off, we're not talking about miles. We're not talking about distance. God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. Oh, but we were far off. We were far off from God. Every lost man by nature far off from God. Scott Richardson said so one time. He said, well, someone asked him, how far are they? How far off are we from God? So far we couldn't find our way back. That's how far we were. But God. But now, we were far off from the knowledge of God. Most of us knew there was a God. We confess that. The devils believe there's a God, and they tremble. But we were far off from the knowledge of God. We didn't recognize how holy God is and what God requires and to be right with God, what it's going to take. It's going to take the work of his Son on our behalf. We were far off from righteousness. We had righteousness that we produce, maybe, which are nothing other than filthy rags. We're far off from righteousness. Far off from the knowledge of God. Far off from fellowship with God. We didn't have any communion with God. Didn't want any. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh. And how were we made nigh? By the blood of Jesus Christ. Second, you were enmity with the Jews, but now you are one new man. Verses 14 through 16. You see, there was an enmity between the Jews and all the Gentile nations. And it was on both sides. The Jews hated the Gentiles and the Gentiles hated the Jews. It was a mutual hatred toward one another. I looked up that word enmity and I found out this definition. Let me see if I can find it now in my notes. It was less than friendship. It was actually inbred hatred, enmity. But now they are made one new man. Notice that in verse 14. For he is our peace who hath made both Jew and Gentile, one. Broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, what was that middle wall of partition? It was that law that God had given at Sinai that kept the Jews separate, kept them a distinct nation until the promised seed came. And that law, because it required the Jews to do certain things and not to do certain things, and it just produced an enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles. It kept the Jews a separate nation, the law did. It's called a middle wall of partition that existed between them and all others. Here it is. The dictionary defines enmity as the opposite of friendship, and it differs from displeasure in denoting a fixed or rooted hatred. So it's more than just displeasure with someone else. It's a fixed or rooted hatred, and that existed between the Jew and the Gentile. But now, both are made one. One new man. Now listen. This new man here is not the new man in chapter 4. Look in Ephesians 4 and verse 24. And that you put on the new man. The new man here in Ephesians 4 is that new nature that we're given, that every believer, every child of God is given. But this new man back here in our text tonight, what is this? It is the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ. Christ is the head, and we are all believers, both Jew, if you were a Jew and God saved you, if you were a Gentile and God saved you, both, we were all baptized into one body, made members of one body. Christ doesn't have two bodies, he has one. One mystical body of which he is the head. Look in 1 Corinthians 12 just a moment. 1 Corinthians 12 and verses 12 and 13. The apostle said, for as the body is one, that is the human body, we've got a lot of members, don't we? Got a lot of members in this body. But the body's one. As the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So you were enmity with the Jews, but now you are one new man. You say, well, how was that enmity destroyed? How was that hatred between these two, between the Jews, and how was that destroyed? By the death of Christ. Notice what the scripture says. Having abolished in his flesh, verse 15, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. In Colossians 2, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That is, those handwritings, that law that separated and caused the enmity. Well, this is your condition now. Both Jew and Gentile are made one in Christ. But now, and the third thing, you were unreconciled to God, but now you have heard and believed the message of peace. Verse 17. And came and preached peace to you. That is, Christ did. Not him personally. Christ did not personally preach to the Gentiles. He was a minister to the circumcision. But through his apostles, after his resurrection, remember, he commanded his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those who believe the gospel, the message of peace, you and I, we have peace in two ways. Number one, we have peace with God. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom now we have received the reconciliation. We have peace with God. But a second way that we have peace, we have the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And by the grace of God, when a person is saved, we become peaceable. We have peace with God and we become peaceable. We want to live in peace as much as possible, Paul said. Live in peace with all men. I heard this story years ago about a rough old coal miner in the Appalachians. He was known in that part of the country far and wide because of his wild living, his drinking, dancing, and fighting. The Lord saved him, and his old friend said he won't last a week. He won't last a week. They even took bets, took wagers on how long he'd hold out. Saturday came, and instead of going where he usually did to the dives and the place of drinking and fighting. He was a fighter. He loved to fight. Instead of going there, he was in a prayer meeting, down on his knees, crying out to God. After several weeks, and he continued on his way, those men down in the mine, they began to play jokes or pranks, pull them on him. They just knew somehow they would provoke him to fight him. They couldn't provoke him. And one day, and he was a coal miner, as I said, the way I heard this, at least, those bins, I think you call them, buggies that they, you know, mine for the coal and put the coal in the bin and push it out on rails, that somehow or another, here he comes pushing his out, and they put something on the rail, and his buggy turns over, and all of his coal just spills out. And they just have a good time laughing. And he picked up his bin, and the way I heard the story, his knuckles got as wide as they could be. Face turned red. They just knew this time we've got him. And with tears running down his eyes, he began to sing, "Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. And instead of him being broken, some of his adversaries were broken. God had changed him. The grace of God had changed him from a fighter to a peaceable person." We have peace with God, and we have peace in our hearts tonight, don't we? And we want to live in peace with everyone else. Well, I pray the Lord would bless the word to all of us here tonight. We'll sing a hymn and then we will be dismissed.